RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Wednesday morning means Legal Hub here at RCR. Kirsten Murford, lawyer, is back with us on the program. Kirsten, happy birthday.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for inviting me back on the show.
Consider it our birthday present to you. Maybe not the one you're expecting.
Thank you.
So you're 52 yesterday, and what rhymes with 52? What can you make of 52? 52, it's something.
We were joking in the office today, and I've decided that it's 52, the year of the coup to take down the WHO.
I like it. Someone should put that on a birthday card and send it to you if they haven't already.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here to talk about a few things. Some of them will be our audience will be aware of, some may be not. Let's start with the one that I know about because I've been following your posts, and that is the petition to release the Pfizer-BioNTech contract. And I see that it is up on the petitions page of Parliament, and as I'm looking now, just on 8,500 have signed with 58 days left, so I'm sure you're going to get more than that.
Oh, absolutely. So, thank you.
Yeah, of course you will, and you'll get more right after this, I'm hoping. So tell us about the background of the petition. When did you decide to do this? How long have you been thinking about it, and what's involved with launching something like this?
So back in September 2021, I think was the first time I requested the Pfizer contract under the Official Information Act, and I was refused. And then many other people have requested and been refused, and I've asked, I don't even know how many times I've requested. Then the ombudsman came back and said, nope, they believed, they'd give us a summary of what the contract said, but they believe that it shouldn't be released. We've seen various editions from around the world that haven't been official, but we kind of know what's in it. And then Canada has actually had a really good result from Freedom of Information Act, and the official contract has been released.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. It is redacted, but it's a start. And I know everyone wants everything today, and people have criticised the way I've worded it, et cetera. But also, it wasn't the original wording that I wanted. So you have to negotiate with Parliament, what's parliamentary services, to get the wording. So I am doing the best possible job I can do. And so I'm hoping.
Yeah, when you say negotiate, Kirsten, what was the issue, actually? That you had to negotiate.
So you put the wording in and they come back and they change the wording. So originally I'd said the OIA of the 10th of September stated that it did not stop transmission and that there has been people that have died and had serious injury from the vaccine. And they come back and they go, nope, you can't have that wording. And then they change it again. And then I use the
word. Is there a reason for that? Sorry to ask dumb questions, but do they give you a reason why you can't say that?
No.
Okay.
Oh, actually, with the transmission one, they did actually come back with another OIA, which they were claiming stated that the numbers pretty much never said that it never stopped transmission. And I went back to them and said, well, that's really interesting because at the European Parliament, we had one of the Pfizer top people back in, 2003, who said it had never been tested for transmission, which aligned with the OIA that we had in New Zealand. But of course, they're squirming. So they're just trying everything to stop that information getting out.
I do remember someone saying, I can't remember the exact quote or person, though I suspect I think I know, telling us that you wouldn't get it if you took this.
No, we were definitely told that. We were also told to take it for our whānau, take it for Nana.
So that's right.
If it didn't stop transmission, why were we being told that? So in one of my latest OIA requests, I've asked for all the information about the advertising, but they're just finding it so hard to break down.
Right. So you've landed on a set of words that are acceptable now.
I'm not, the words are not perfect. The words are not what I wanted, but at the end of the day, you've just got to get on with it. So it's okay.
Because we heard about the South African contract a while back and we kind of knew what was in that. I don't know if that was a leak or an official thing. You just mentioned Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What do those, okay, it was redacted, but what do those contracts tell us about what our contract might look like?
From the very brief look I've had at it, because I got that information this morning before work, it would appear that the clauses are very similar. And I understand that this post went up a couple of days ago, but as you know, you probably get inundated with information and you can't keep up with everything. So it's not that I'm ignoring stuff, it's just I get information overload. But it does appear that it's similar in terms of the indemnities, similar in terms of they don't know whether it's going to cause harm or not, similar in the terms of, you know, was it going to stop transmission? So I always come back to, if they didn't know it was going to stop transmission, why did they mandate? Why did they put in place the, sorry, I won't swear, the illogical traffic light system?
Well, there is actually no answer for that.
Well, there is.
There's no, well, unless it's the one that, you know, sends the hairs on the back of my neck.
Oh, I've got to that point. And as we've both discussed many a times, I'm prepared to die on the hill and so are you. But I'm just getting to the point, you know, let's actually say it. This is slow mass murder.
Wow. Okay. We're there now. We're saying that.
Because they now know about so much of the detail. Then I understand that Dr. Matt Shelton has done an interview with Peter Williams today as well, talking about the white clots. I have had people come into my office that have had the white clots.
Yeah.
I've had friends die. I have had friends that have had relatives have Guillain-Barre syndrome. My own staff have suffered injuries. So you know what? Let's stop being polite. The gloves are off now. This is 2024. I don't know if you saw my post last night. I received, following an OIA I had done about Irene, the heart patient, I've been going back and forth with the ministry with that. And one of my questions was, and you interviewed me, I think it was last year, about the coroner's court that said their research, not mine, their research had showed that deaths could occur up to 93 days. We still don't know that 93 days comes from, because it's kind of an odd number. Most people might say,
yeah, where's the three come from? Three, I can get the 90 because that rounds it off.
Yeah, and 90 is how many times? Yeah, anyway.
It's 3 months. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we got this. And so I went back to them and said, okay, please tell me the information of people that have died within 30 days of the vaccine.
Right.
And 93 days. And so they've come back. Yeah. They actually came back on Friday, but I've just been so busy. I didn't get to read it till last night, and then I posted it. Almost 26,000 New Zealanders are registered, and they use the word registered, as dying within 93 days of taking the COVID-19 vaccine.
Whoa.
And I'm interested in the wording, and I'll go back with them and probably flesh it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so then I went, okay, well, let's look at the official stats. So the official stats for deaths in New Zealand in 2021 were about 35,000, roughly. But then I went to Stats New Zealand, and they said in 2022, deaths had increased by 10% in New Zealand. And we don't have the stats, from my knowledge, and also I haven't dug deep, but I believe it to be true, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, for 2023. So many of us have been asking for the stats around death, and what we keep saying to them is, like, if there's no problem, give the information to us. If we're wrong, I will admit I'm wrong.
Yeah.
There's no problem.
And they can say you're wrong.
Yeah, and they can say I'm wrong. I'm just a silly conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
But why are they withholding the information? And also that OIA I did it months ago. And once again, it gets transferred, delayed. And I am suspicious about the answer. And I hope I'm wrong. Like, I hope for humanity's point of view that number is the number. I'd hate for them to have manipulated that number to make it lower than what they hold on official records.
So I'm just processing this. So in a year, there is what? The average is what? Do you say in the early 30,000s of deaths?
Sort of about 35,000 in 2021.
But we're talking about a period of 93 days.
Yeah, and that 93 days
getting
is from
that right?
The rollout of the vaccine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Which is the other significant thing. So that's almost, that's heading up a year's worth of average in 93 days linked to the rollout.
But we're also talking about 35,000 in 2021 at the height of the pandemic. Because everyone that
was going to kill grandma.
I don't know anyone that died of COVID-19. I know plenty of people that died within a time period of the vaccine or that were injured. So it just makes me a little bit suspicious.
A little bit?
Well, you know what I mean.
I don't know how you can explain that.
Yeah.
No, I know that. I get that. But I just don't know how you can ever explain that. That is so out of the box.
So I would think if everything was in equilibrium, if there's that many deaths connected in the time frame of having the COVID vaccine, and given that the coroner's court said back in 2021 that they believed from their research that deaths could happen within 93 days, and the...
Oh, they knew. Sorry, I get it now on the time frame.
Yeah.
They had some sort of advanced knowledge that in that time period, where the 3 days comes from, I don't know. Oh.
Yeah, and then we've got the clinical evaluation from January 2021 where they clearly stated that deaths could occur up to 2 months. So we know that you don't just get a vaccine and you die at the vaccine clinic.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily die the next day, 2 days. So we know there can be a delayed period. So given that there has been a lot of deaths and the government has acknowledged that, wouldn't you think the prudent response would be to pause at the very least the rollout, the continued rollout of the vaccine, and maybe to investigate?
Then the house of cards comes tumbling down. If you put a stop on it, this is what I think, you're basically admitting it's the first crack in the dam right there, big time.
But I do believe that they
call
themselves members of parliament and our representatives. So who are they representing?
Whew. Well, who are they representing, Kirsten? Pfizer?
I think that's what my petition is, to release that, because that will give us a little bit more information. But I think it goes much deeper. World Economic Forum, The Who, United Nations. I mean, I'm sure all your listeners are pretty familiar with what's going on there.
Yep.
And that's why I've taken the next step to do the referendum. So, I mean, I don't really want to be doing this, but...
No, better things to do usually. Right, I get that.
I'd love to go to Holland.
but what have you got against a whole group of people that overrides the humanity? What is it?
It's...
What could it be? I don't expect you to know the answer, but that's the question, right?
I just can't help myself. I try and walk away from the calls all the time because I've got enough going on in my personal life, enough going on running a business, and I really would like to have a break. And I find it overwhelming sometimes, the amount of, I mean, the other day I got people texting me they've got my personal cell phone with stuff that's just actually like a little bit nonsense, because I'm meant to be the answer for everybody.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I'm being pulled, and it is overwhelming. And sometimes I just really want to walk away. But there is something inside me that just, I can't.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's, maybe it's God. I don't know. I was brought up in a Roman Catholic family, and I can't say I particularly like the Roman Catholic Church. I can't, scripture's interesting, but I do believe in something bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what is driving me.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I really do. Many of us do.
Yeah.
Everyone listening probably does.
Yeah.
And you got no choice, Kirsten. Sorry.
<I know.
laughs> Did you get the memo? You got no choice. You got to carry on.
Yeah. I'm tired.
But the interesting thing here is that by your actions, what you've done, it's so obvious. You're really cornering the rats. Is what you're doing.
Mm, absolutely. And my dad always told me from a young child, because I was one of those annoying children, sorry, I was always asking questions. I remember being about four and asking about affinity, and my dad's like, oh, my God, because I think he had answered the link of questions about 23 times, he used to tell at dinner parties. And so I've always questioned stuff. And I've just got to keep doing that. You've just got to keep going and going and going. And I know so many people just want it now. And they email me and telling me what I should do with common law or whatever this. And it's like, there's a process. And to get to the end, I mean, look how many years it's taken, like for smoking, asbestos, all that sort of stuff. And I hope we're much faster. But to actually do this properly, we've got to do the process. And I'm sorry it's slow, but it's not my fault.
No.
I'm doing the best I can.
And you only get one shot at it, and it has to be rolled out in a certain way.
Yeah, and it brings more and more people on board, because more
exactly.
people are like,
yeah,
actually, she's not a conspiracy theorist. She's not what, you know, one News V said about her, or like Charlie Mitchell. She's actually got facts here. And like, I'm just finding, like, I joined LinkedIn. Well, I've always been on LinkedIn, but I never used it. But I started posting on LinkedIn earlier this year. And I was really nervous about that, given my business and that I'm the sole income for my family. And it's been amazing. Like, I've got over 4,500 followers. Some weeks, you know, it's like 300,000 views. So there are lots of people that are, you know, normal business people that actually are on the same page as us. So if I just post facts, I bring more people aboard. If I follow the process, yes, I'm sorry, it's slow, that does. If other people have a better answer, awesome, please use it. But don't come and criticize me or tell me to use it.
I won't do that. Don't worry.
That's okay. No, I'm not meaning to be, but it's just, it does get over.
No, I know. I'm just joking. Yeah. You know, I'm just finding a light moment.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. Going back to this attempts to get information on this contract and it being turned down on the basis of its commercial
it's
confidentiality.
Just, yeah. But our taxpayer dollars paid for it.
Yeah. Is that something that's set in stone, commercial privilege? I mean, in the end, yes, so what, you know?
In contract law, if two parties were to have a confidentiality clause, then yes. But my argument is, this is the government of New Zealand that has imposed these insane mandates and traffic light system and force people to take a vaccine that doesn't work, doesn't stop transmission, and can harm and kill. So, and it was our taxpayer dollars that paid for this, to my knowledge, unless some other party paid for it. So I do believe that it's in the public interest. But that's only my argument.
Especially if there could be injury and death as a result of it. That trumps it for every time, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, like with Roy, he died in December. They knew back in at least April that myocarditis was a risk. And I've looked quite closely at that. And the thing is, they were saying on those news releases, those 1 o'clock reports, that there was a possibility. But the thing is, that was such a narrow channel of information, and yet all the advertising, et cetera, was saying you've got to have this, and if you don't have this, so while they were telling us the truth in one respect, they were being quite misleading in the information that the average New Zealander got.
I was talking to Linda Wharton. She told me that 6,000 Kiwis a week are still taking this.
It's sad. It's very, very sad.
Why?
Because they believe the government.
No, but if you were Shane Retty or the Prime Minister, I'd be losing sleep every night.
He's not. The thing is, when I did this Official Information Act request about Irene and the heart transplant, and that kind of got a bit of popularity on social media, when I sent in the OA request probably 2 months ago, I got a response from it said Shane at the bottom within 10 minutes. So I'm on the radar, taken this long to get through, and I'm not sure if he's a good guy trying to help or... Because at the end of the day, these are just people. And I know there are people in Parliament that I think are just people, but I understand that they are somehow behind the system now. And that upsets me.
Well, maybe a clue is they all signed up to not come out to the front door of Parliament.
Yeah,
remember
but
that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, but this is a new crew in there.
Yeah, but it's an old institution.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But why isn't there one member of Parliament screaming down the rafters about this?
I don't know. I wish I knew. Another thing that happened, censorship. I think you had an exit the WHO referendum as well. And you went to, did I get this right, post the link on Facebook and you couldn't post the link?
I put the referendum question in a little while ago. I just can't quite remember. Anyway, yep. Parliamentary Services has come back and said, yep, they accept the question, pay the $604.10, and then it will go to advertising. So that's now happened. But when I initially got the, yes, we're going to accept this, I posted on Facebook.
It was for that. Okay.
And everybody that was trying to share it, the posts were being taken down. And so I was kind of like, it is what it is. And then the other day I went to post that we're going to the next stage and I wasn't allowed to post that information on Facebook. So it's quite incredible. I mean, I got banned on Facebook 2021 and I actually left Facebook at that point in time. And there is no, I left all social media. I was done. And if it wasn't for me campaigning last year as a potential member of Parliament, I would have never got back on social media. And lots of people criticize me being on Facebook or whatever. But I'm like, the more platforms I'm on, getting the message out, the better it is.
Have you given any thought to who's stopping those links? Is it Facebook or is it above Facebook? I think it's reasonable to consider these origins of the censorship.
Well, we've got the Misinformation Project, and obviously I'm definitely on the radar. So it could be that, it could be Facebook. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I know you don't know the answer, but I wonder if there are people sitting in a room with monitors, you know, saying, oh, she's put another one up, stop that.
Oh, I'm sure they are. But it's okay, it's not going to stop me.
No, I know that. Don't you worry.
I'm too far.
The other thing, because you're Tauranga area, right? So we were really interested to hear about the onto something else.
Yeah, fluoride.
The fluoride meeting at the Tauranga City Council, nearly a fortnight ago, we had Jody Brunning reporting firsthand. She spoke there. We've had the Mayor, Mahi Drysdale, on Monday, and he was sending out the right smoke signals, but obviously he has to be careful with his language, I'd probably put it that way. Yeah. And it was packed.
It was absolutely packed.
It sort of felt like something was happening. Was it? Were you there, or what was the feedback you had on
it? Yeah, no, I was there and I did a live because I just wanted to capture the whole event without anything being edited.
Yeah.
So we got there early. We had a security guard, which is fine. And he was kind of like, please let the elderly sit down if people don't need to come into the room. So, I mean, that's perfectly reasonable. I totally understand that. Because I have a platform to get the word out, I decided that I should be in the room. So I went up the front and there was a little bit of harvey butt, but that's okay. And I went and spoke to one counsellor that I know, and he told me that pretty much, from his understanding, it was about 50-50 in Tauranga. And I know that he believes in the democratic process. And we've just had democracy restored to Tauranga as well, which I think people need to remember, because we had the commissioners from 1984 before this. And then what's interesting, I was sort of just standing there at the front, sort of getting ready, and a counsellor came up to me and was like, oh, my God, Kirsty Murford. And I didn't actually know who it was, and I apologise for that. But he was really excited to see me. And he's like, oh, I'm another lawyer. And he said, I'm from such and such firm. And then he sat down.
Stand back.
No, it was great because they knew who I was. I'd also advertised to come along. And then the meeting hit off, and it was very respectful. And I think it was Robert, Alana, and Jody, and they did great information to the councillors. It seemed to me that the council was very strict with their time limits, and they would ring the bell and sort of say that was over. What I found interesting from that was a couple of, because obviously when you go to a council meeting, there's different issues. So one issue was getting a ferry, as in like a boat, from
not a trans ferry.
From Tauranga across the mount. And these people are not from Tauranga. And obviously it means a lot of money for them. And they were allowed, so we were told we had three slots of 5 minutes for the fluoride. And I was asked to speak. And I said, look, I don't feel I'm up to play enough in the science. And I said, I think Jody, because Jody's spoken out before, would be the better person. So they put Jody in, which was amazing. She did a great job. But my point is, when it came to the ferry issue, they were allocated one 5 minutes slot, But yet the businessman that seemed to know some of the other business people that were counsellors in the room got to go on and on and on.
Right. Yeah.
And so I did call them out on that, because I'm like, how can you have strict rules for one issue and then you have different rules for a different issue? But anyway, we sort of got through that, and it was interesting.
I wish I'd known that, Kirsten, because I would have hit Mahi Drysdale with that if I'd known that. I would have.
Oh, I go and look at my videos, because it's all on.
Might get back to him about that. Yeah.
And I did call him out, and he said no. He said he followed the, and I said no, that wasn't the case. Yeah.
Because the ferry's not controversial.
No.
And you said a business person who seemed to know other people, because we've heard about business associations and council associations in Tauranga for quite a while.
Yes, we have. And one of those associations, I've had dinner with them in the past, and very nice man. But at the end of the day, it seems business is business.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think it's going to go following that meeting? You said 50-50. Is that still about where it's at, do you think, on the voting, potentially?
I think it's probably higher. But that's what one, the counsellor that I know said to me prior to the meeting. But the meeting was packed. And as I said at the start, we were quite respectful. And then when they had two contractors basically talking about what they were doing, and to be fair, Drysdale did ask some questions. And the fact that he said, are you going to test in our water system for the fluoride prior to the date that we're mandated? And they admitted that, yes, that was the plan. And, yeah, they kept going. I kind of got a little bit heated under the collar and decided that I probably needed to leave the room.
Right.
And I did. And then when I came back, they actually had decided that they weren't going to go ahead, which is the way I felt they were going to go, and that's my mistake. And so they've decided to defer it until the judicial review.
Yeah, yeah.
But it probably didn't help out when – and normally I'd be very professional, but as I left the room, I said it's probably time to stop paying our rates, and I said that very loudly.
Oh, naughty thing to say.
I know. I'm a conspiracy theorist and a rebel now.
No, but that's fair enough. The contract gets broken, doesn't it?
Well, I just
and what am I paying for now, you know?
Well, that's what I said to one of the guys that was reading the report, because he's like, we're going to do this and then we'll look at doing another water system where we don't put the fluoride in. And
oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, do we get a reduction in the rates? Because they keep on putting our rates up and up and up. And why do we need mass medication that we know, even if you take a very safe position, we know it potentially can cause harm. Mm. Why are they not teaching children to brush their teeth? Why do we still have sugary drinks? Why are we allowing all this other stuff that affects teeth? And that's the very safe position.
Yeah, do no harm.
Yeah.
All right, Kirsten, thank you so much again for coming on and for the work you do. I mean, it sounds kind of lightweight, me saying that. I wish I could express it more. But, wow, you're incredible.
No, you guys do an amazing job. You're getting the information out there.
Yeah.
And as I said, lots of people doing lots of things, and I'm hoping New Zealand First is doing stuff in their way as well.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to publicly criticise, but it's just...
Well, it is what it is, right?
I'm tired. Yeah. And when is somebody actually going to speak out like they are overseas? Yeah. When is someone going to take action like they are overseas?
We'll leave it there, Kirsten. Thanks for coming on this morning. And you'll get there. I know you will. You will. You will win.
Thank you, Paul.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.